We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Santa Claus is coming to town. Santa Claus is coming to town. You better watch out.
You it's the Mark Reardon Show. I'm Beau Matthews with Amy Marks, of course, as we are holding down the fort. If you in case you miss any part of the show, you can download the podcast at camox.com/Reardon, and believe me, you probably will, because there's been a big apology by Walmart. They've been left red-faced and apologizing for several adult-themed sweaters featured on their website. And I don't believe they were in stores necessarily, but of course Walmart wants to sell you anything. And as soon as I saw the sweater, I was like, what's so bad about this? It says Walmart dropped the sweater of Santa doing lines. And I'm looking at it, and I just don't get it. Now,
Tipsy, like line dancing?
No, lines of cocaine.
Cocaine is a hell of a drug.
But here's the thing. You know, when people used to dig in their grandparents' chest and get out, you know, grandma's old Christmas sweater, we've right. all been to ugly Christmas sweater parties. Mm-hmm. I've been there a couple of times. But then a big business came along, and I think Shark Tank might have featured Tipsy Elves, and they have some funny things on their sweaters that they've done. I thought that's what this was, and I thought it was benign. It looked like Santa in a snowman in a Santa suit is what I originally thought. And I showed my wife the picture of this sweater in question. It says "Let It Snow." I said, "Do you see anything about this that's abnormal, offensive?" And she's an artist. She's got a detailed eye, and she looks at it and she goes, "No, that didn't really faze me." And then I said, "Do you see lines of cocaine on that table in front of Santa?" She goes, "I do now."
Yeah.
And I cannot see it. I cannot not see it.
Right. Well, the headline from the Washington Post, there's so many delightful aspects of this story. One of them being the Washington Post headline, "Walmart pulls Christmas sweaters that mixed Santa with sex and cocaine." That's one headline. Believe it or not, this line of risque holiday sweaters mm-hmm. that Walmart picked up, it's because it's a third-party line called Funwear, comes from Canada.
Really?
So it pulled from its Canadian website, and we thought the Canadians were the nice ones. So as you mentioned, this Santa sweater at first looks pretty nondescript, and then you realize, oh my goodness, Santa's got big buggy eyes, and he's sitting in front of three lines of cocaine. And if you were not sure, like, well, I think people are just reading too much into it, here is the official description, product description.
Okay, so you didn't prep me on this. You didn't say that you had this, because I'm looking at it going, it snowballs. And it's a little snow on the table.
It's because you're just an innocent young man.
Yes, I am.
Yes. Here's the product description.
Wow.
"We all know how snow works. It's white, powdery, and the best snow comes straight from South America. That's bad news for jolly old Saint Nick, who lives far away in the North Pole. That's why Santa really likes to savor the moment when he gets his hands on some quality grade A Colombian snow."
What are they doing to Santa? Santa was innocent. What is this?
They made Santa R-rated.
This is so bad. But you go to that Tipsy Elves website, mm-hmm. and boy, it's bad. I mean, there's some vulgar. But see, if you're walking down the mall, and you're walking in the mall, and you see somebody wearing a crazy Christmas sweater, you're probably not going to pay attention to the vulgarity that's maybe on the shirt, on the sweater.
Here's the thing. I often don't see the vulgarity right away. So whenever there is a holiday sweater or a meme, I have to look at it 100 times, because you may see a sweater that's just a reindeer sweater, and you have to really look closely to realize the reindeer are procreating on the sweater. And I didn't notice that at first because it just, I'm trying to keep it G-rated here.
Oh, you already passed that rating a long time ago, lady.
Like, I didn't see it, or someone's, you know, giving a middle finger in a meme that I don't see. Like,
elves and Santa don't do that. I'm just telling you right now.
Well, this is the bad Santa, I guess. You know, I don't know what this culture is coming to, and I have a question about texting. I mean, obviously what's in now.
I was actually going to text you last night about the Santa doing cocaine last night, but I didn't know. I didn't want to wake you up. Do you keep your phone like right next to you?
I do.
All night?
I do.
Have you?
And I keep it on. And because I figure this, I would rather be awakened by a text that doesn't matter than miss a text or call that does.
But what about interrupted sleep?
I don't have that many people texting me in the middle of
the night. Well, that's true. But see, I'm the kind of guy that if I don't text you right now, I'm going to forget about it.
Okay.
And so I guess I played it safe and I did not text you last night. Because, I mean, who can wait for a story like this?
Right. No, nobody can wait, really. What time would it have been?
11:30.
Okay. And this ties into my question. What is text etiquette? You know how the hospital had visiting hours? Are there proper texting hours? This comes from a personal anecdote, excuse me, from this past weekend. I met someone.
Oh, congratulations.
You're welcome.
Are you going to be happy forever?
No.
Oh, okay.
I misunderstood the situation. I met someone at the grocery store. I thought he was looking for things to do in St. Louis because he was going to be here for a month. At any rate, I gave him my number and I thought, oh my gosh, I misread the situation. He texts me. I don't even know this guy. He texts me a few days later at 11:58 p.m.
Okay.
Like, hey, how are you? How's your weekend? I haven't responded. Delete. Who texts someone at 11:58 p.m.?
Well, I guess.
And it was a benign text. It wasn't a weird text.
You were describing a Hallmark Christmas movie love story.
So it actually could have been.
Oh, okay.
Because this is how it happened. I was at the grocery store pushing my cart, and I was really flustered, and I had been on the phone with the cable company. It's a long story.
No, I remember hearing about that.
Yeah, but I was pushing my cart. I was flustered, and I almost hit his cart. And without looking up, I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry, and I move on. Then I go into the next aisle, and I guess he was on the same flight path because he went in the next aisle. But in the next aisle, I ran into a display and knocked it over.
Oh, boy.
I know. So then I'm picking up the display, and he's standing there laughing. And then we meet a third time in the aisle. He's like, what's your name? And I introduce myself. He's like, oh, I'm here, you know, for a month. I thought he wanted to find out things to do. But I guess it was more of like a pickup thing. I'm not very good at recognizing these situations.
not seeing the signals.
So
huh?
I went through like the seven stages of grieving. I went through like the seven stages of a potential pickup where I was like, oh my gosh, I wish I was so dumb. I shouldn't have given him my number. Then I was hoping he would never text so I wouldn't have to deal with it. Then when he didn't text, I'm like, oh, why is this guy not texting me?
You know, the time that he did text
then
you.
He did text
is
me.
Is a little concerning.
11:58. And it wasn't weird or anything. It was literally, hey, it was nice to meet you. How is your weekend going?
Sounds like a booty call. Can I say that on KMOX?
I deleted it.
The first time booty call has ever been mentioned on this radio station. No, you deleted it. Yeah, but you gave him your number.
Yeah.
Were you obviously attracted to him?
No, because I misread the situation. He said he was going to be here a month.
Okay.
So I thought he was, and he had just like moved here for work, and so we were just talking about St. Louis, and I thought he wanted to know about the city.
Romance.
No. At any rate, at 11:58, I'm like, what a weirdo, so I deleted it.
Totally. Well, you can go to recently deleted, and you can still find it. It may be romance. You don't know.
It's not.
I've seen a lot. My wife makes me watch a lot of Hallmark Christmas love story rom-coms.
I know. They're my favorite.
In the grocery. And it's a script. I'm hearing a script unfold in
my
head.
It's very scripty, but no interest.
You should check your phone. See if it's in recently deleted, because that could be part of the script.
But
that her coworker says you should check your recently deleted numbers and maybe reach out and say, let's get a cup of coffee. Not at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Unless he was in Hawaii it was an unreasonable time.
Okay, just for the record, had I texted you at 11:30 like I said I would have, it would have said, oh my gosh, did you see the sweater with Santa on it and cocaine? So you would have known what that was about.
Yeah,
not just
sure.
A random, how you doing? I said that out loud. It is KMOX, the voice of St. Louis, Amy Marks, course, Bo Matthews.
Mark Reardon now.
No, never. Yes, always.
Total Information PM at 4 on KMOX.
It's Bo Matthews and Amy Marks, course, in for Mark Reardon this afternoon. Beautiful day we've got. If you miss any part of the show, you can download the podcast at KMOX.com/Reardon. And you can also listen live by downloading the radio.com app if you are headed out to a park to go for a walk on this beautiful day. The condition of urgent care has been the subject on KMOX.com. Megan Lynch is headline or spearheading this story. And it really comes down to it's up to the operators to decide what services, hours, staffing, and diagnostic tests that they offer. And we have Ms. Lynch on the line. How are you?
Good afternoon.
This is really good information that you've been able to get out of everybody.
Well, thank you very much. You know, it was one of those things where it starts with a conversation where you're talking about, gee, we're seeing all these urgent cares pop up all over the place. You know, let's see what the situation is. And then you start talking with people about what their experience is with these. And so we decided to dig into what do these urgent cares offer? Are they alike? Are they different? And what we did find, as you said, is that they are all very different, have very different models of operating, and are governed in very different ways.
Yeah, it feels a little bit like the Wild West of medical care. So who exactly regulates what can and can't be done at these urgent care centers?
Well, really, in a lot of ways, it's up to the urgent care operators themselves. There really is no standard for what an urgent care should be. Now, some of the urgent cares, if they're operated by a medical system, they are under different certifications. So it would be similar to what the hospitals would have for their emergency rooms. And so they would have more certification in terms of staffing and who needs to have qualifications to do what. When it comes to the urgent cares, and I don't want to make it sound like they're not regulated at all because mm-hmm. they do still have quite a bit of regulation. You know, when you talk about things like having to report to the DEA and then for the individual providers themselves, of course, they're licensed by professional boards. So, you know, there are a lot of requirements. But as far as any one governing body saying this is what you have to provide at an urgent care, there's really nothing dictating that.
Can I ask a silly question? Did urgent cares begin in St. Louis, or was this a West or East Coast thing first?
You know what? I have no idea. That's a really good question. I don't think it's a silly question at all. The thing that I've heard is actually urgent cares have been around for about 30, 40 years, but it's just been in the past 10 years that we've really seen a dramatic growth. And probably both of you have noticed maybe just in the last 5 years, you've seen more of maybe the storefronts really
right.
popping up on corners and in shopping centers.
Right. Every corner has an urgent care. And I have to say, I like the idea of them. I hate going to the doctor. I'm terrible at planning, and I don't want to make an appointment and wait 6 months. Or if I need, for instance, here's my personal story. I was around a lot of kids when I was tutoring, and one of the kids had strep throat, but I also happened to be tutoring at a house where the mom was undergoing chemotherapy. And if I had contracted the strep virus, I didn't want to go to that house to tutor her kid. And so I was able to just waltz right into an urgent care, get the test, boom, I was done. I didn't have to make an appointment. It took, 25 minutes. And it was a really simple process.
Well, and Amy, I think that's why this has been one area of medicine, maybe compared to some others, that has been really consumer driven. I think it's really been driven by people saying they want a different model for their healthcare. They do want to be able to walk in, get what they need, walk out, maybe not even have that kind of long-term relationship with a primary care provider. We did a survey on Twitter over the weekend, and of course it's an informal poll, but of the people that responded to us, they said the top reason that they go to urgent care is for convenience. That was more than half of the people that responded to our poll.
When you think of a hospital, though, and you think, okay, I'm sick, and that hospital is so huge and towering, and I'm frightened to go just for sniffles, it is intimidating. And I love going to the urgent cares because it's quick and there's hardly any wait. I will say this, that, you know, even online doctor chats are happening now, where I don't know if they can prescribe things like an antibiotic over the over your video screen or not, but online through certain unions or healthcare programs, you can actually visit a doctor, and there's a copay involved, but you can actually do that online. I think I still like the hands-on experience, and I had a heat stroke situation that happened over the summer, and I'd just been working outside way too hard, and I was dizzy, and I had what do they call it? Where you're dizzy? What's the term?
Lightheaded.
Vertigo.
That's it. Thank you. My wife had it, and I never experienced it, but I definitely had it. Made it to urgent care, and I went to the one in Maplewood, and it was amazing how much they could do. They did a CAT scan. They did a X-rays. They did all the stuff, and I was like, wow, this is really a full-service one. And it was a friend of mine that recommended go to this one instead of this one because they offer more services. So like we started at the beginning, Ms. Lynch, is that we talked about everyone is going to be a little bit different.
That's right. And I think, one of the risks that we talk about coming up tomorrow and Thursday in the series is that for a lot of people, maybe you are worried about the cost, but maybe you have something really serious going on. And some people are concerned that that may be driving people to urgent care who really should be better served in an emergency room. And so people are kind of trying to self-diagnose before they would go to an urgent care. And so what happens if they don't do their research as a consumer and they go to an urgent care where maybe they don't have scans or maybe they don't even have x-rays because there's such a broad spectrum of what urgent cares provide. And so really it's one of these areas where it's been left up to the patients, the consumers to figure out, are they going to have what I need when I walk in the door?
So if I were to trip on a sidewalk and break my arm, I could go to an urgent care, but I have to know which one to go to.
Exactly. Some of them might be able to handle that. Some of them might not.
Hmm. Wow. They could do a cast on you at an urgent care?
Some of them claim that they can handle very nearly every emergency. Wow. One of the providers that I spoke with said they only have to refer 2% of the people that come in their door onto an emergency room.
Yeah. See, I went to an urgent care that was like right across the street from a hospital. So I thought, well, if they can't handle it, I know that I'm not far.
Yeah. Exactly.
Megan, before we let you go, as we see the healthcare issues kind of seemingly spiral out of control, it's such an issue with the doctors and the hospitals. Do you see more urgent cares expanding their services?
I do. And I think what's going to happen is when I've looked at this issue, I think that it's going to be driven by consumers. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's going to be really up to the consumers to say what they want and to do their research to figure it out. I think, though, from some of the business journals that I've looked at, we're going to reach a point of saturation on these things. So I suppose it's going to be market-driven. If you're a good urgent care provider, you're going to be in business. If you're not, maybe consumers will shut you down.
Where can people get involved with your informal polls that you're doing concerning urgent cares?
I'm doing those on Twitter, and my Twitter handle is M Lynch on Air.
Thank you, Megan, so much.
Thank you, guys.
Coming up next, we're going to talk to Chris Raby and Mike Claiborne live from San Diego. They're going to tell us all about what's going on in the baseball winter meetings, which can have an effect on this upcoming Cardinal season.
KMOX Sports is on the road and covering the Cardinals at the 2019 Major League Baseball Winter Meetings in San Diego. All this week, Chris Raby and Mike Claiborne will bring you all the news you need to know about your St. Louis Cardinals with reports mornings and afternoons. Sponsored by Goodwill. The 2019 Major League Baseball Winter Meetings. We've got it covered on your voice of the St. Louis Cardinals. KMOX.
It's Bo Matthews and Amy Marks course filling in for Mark Reardon, enjoying a beautiful sunny day in the Midwest, but I bet it's nicer where the boys are in San Diego. Please welcome in Chris Raby and Mike Claiborne. Gentlemen, how are you?
Good. How are you guys?
We're doing great.
We're good. It's not all business out there, is it?
Yes.
Come on.
There's
sunrise
no way.
To sunset.
Well, Klibs and I are both in tails coats, white tie.
Of course you are.
It's not just business, it's formal business.
This is as good as it gets, man.
Yes.
So, yeah, we're nose to the grindstone 23 hours a day.
Let's fire up the Skype right now. I bet you're by a pool And I bet you're both wearing Speedos with a cool umbrella drink.
They won't allow that here. You see some of the bodies walking around here, Speedos would not be allowed.
Like that I said, is not, dress, not the cardinal way.
There dress should be
code,
a law.
Dress code. It is crazy, though, guys, because similar to spring training, you know, it's gorgeous out here and the weather is nice, maybe not as nice by San Diego standards the last couple of days. But, you know, it's a lot of hustle and bustle inside the hotel where the meetings are being handled and taking place. And Klaibs, we've seen even more action over the last couple of days to open these meetings than in years past. So, you know, any potential pool time, I think, for a lot of people is maybe gobbled up. But this has become quite the event. It's become the all-day event. It's become a convention,
people
so
watching
to speak.
Events.
It's just, yeah, lots going on.
I mean,
on.
You know, like, a guy like Mike Farron, who you never would see in public, he's walking around and people are following him. And, you know, I mean, he's a pretty popular guy in the baseball business. But you'd be amazed at who shows up. Last night I was having dinner and Reggie Jackson walks in.
Wow.
And, you know, there were like half the people wanted to genuflect. The other one was trying to get another shrimp cocktail in before anybody noticed.
That was you.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, Reggie who? Who cares? But, no, it's a real gathering of everybody in baseball, young, new, and this is where they have the big job fair as well. There's not a navy blue sport jacket or a khaki pair of slacks that isn't being worn here in San Diego. Everybody with a little resume. But it's fun, and hopefully we'll have some more deals that will take place where teams can find a way to get themselves better. A lot of money being spent out here as well.
So how do the meetings work then? Are you handed an itinerary for each day, each meeting, and who is going to be there? How do you know where to go?
Well, they don't give you an itinerary other than when the managers are going to be available and when there's an announcement to be made.
And there's two aspects to it. There's kind of the made-for-TV, made-for-media part. Then there's what the teams are doing behind the scenes amongst themselves.
Yeah, so they kind of, you know, if you're connected with the teams or if you know Mike Farron, that way you can be in the loop on the things that take place here. But if you don't know people and if you're just here for the first time, you can get lost quickly and then have to go somewhere and listen to it on KMOX to find out what actually happened here.
And for instance, guys, we will, you know, in a bit talk to Mike Schilt. There's a list of managers who will be down in the main media room having press conferences and their availability today. Yesterday, Ted Simmons had a press conference as he's headed to the National Baseball Hall of Fame. And then, you know, at the end of the day, we'll go up to the Cardinals suite and sit with President of Baseball Operations John Mozeliak and members of their front office, and they'll tell us kind of what they have been working on, and we'll have a media Q&A with them. But, you know, you don't see those guys walking around the lobby of the hotel anymore. They're in their suites. They're working the phones. They're meeting with agents, with, you know, other teams for potential trades. They're going over their roster. So in that respect, they're doing something completely separate and kind of maybe in the shadows, so to speak, while the made-for-TV event is happening, downstairs.
The made-for-TV event, I love that. Can you tell us about your visit with Joe Torre?
Always a delight to talk to him. Covered a lot of ground, talked about his relationship with Marvin Miller, who went in the Hall of Fame yesterday or on Sunday. We also talked about what's next as far as baseball is concerned and trying to maintain a better pace of play. And he told a couple of great Bob Gibson stories. So it was a great visit with him, one of our favorites, also in the Cardinal Hall of Fame as well. So for anybody who didn't hear it, they can go to KMOX, go online and check it out, and they can hear the whole interview, or they can go to ClaibsOnline.com and hear it as well. So there's plenty of ways to hear Joe Torre, one of our favorites, period.
38 years ago today, Whitey Herzog made the trade for Ozzie Smith. Would that be something that would have been behind the scenes or made for TV spectacular?
It would have been a spectacular because Whitey showed up at the winter meetings. And remember, it was a different time where you didn't stay in your suite all day. You would sit at a bar or under a palm tree. And
no camera phones.
No camera phones, yeah. So you could get the deal done right then and there. And Whitey wanted to change the culture of the ball club. And he moved a really good player in Gary Templeton and got Ozzie in return. And you know, I think it worked out for Ozzie. And I think Gary Templeton had a pretty good career. But, yeah, it was a memorable day in Cardinal history for sure. And, I remember it like it was yesterday.
Yeah, okay,
and it's funny. I ran across a picture recently of Ozzy and I talking right after he came to St. Louis for the first time. And I showed it to him, and he said, "Who are those two guys?" I mean, we were not recognizable. Let's just put it that way.
Hey, this is really from left field, but is there baseball groupies that show up to the facility, the resort?
Oh,
you guys
yeah.
are, and
yeah.
Can you yeah. just pick them out of a crowd?
Yes, because
are you kidding me?
Yes, because they're middle-aged men wanting autographs. A groupie unlike any other industry.
I mean, we're not talking about the
so that's
the
Mark
very
Reardon
attractive.
Is today.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know, unbelievable.
And also,
they've got these binders and binders.
And they
and
also
stuff.
Dress like unmade beds, so they're easy to pick out.
Okay.
And then you have the fledgling media, alleged media members who soak up a lot of oxygen for all the wrong reasons. So there's a lot of useless
Clay's is
dribble
throwing
here.
Darts.
I'm so glad we went down this lane.
A lot of useless dribble here in San Diego.
Wow. Okay, guys. What would make the winter meetings a success in the Cardinals' eyes?
That's a very good question. I think, Chris, I don't think you have to make a deal today.
I think having clarity leaving here,
yes.
what the path is to get better and get better offensively.
I agree.
Because
with you.
A lot of groundwork, guys, is laid at these meetings. And while you might not make a trade or you might not sign a player, I think if you have conversations and figure out what it's going to take internally, whether that's dollars or prospects in a trade, if you leave here with an idea of how you're going to be better and be better where you were most efficient last year offensively, then that's a win.
So do you think we're going to get any news out of the winter meetings that is a blockbuster in any way?
Well, other than Chris Raby and Mike Claiborne returning to St. Louis safely, I think that'd be a good start. And I think, Chris, wouldn't you think that this might be the last chance to kick tires and really get an assessment, as you just mentioned, before they go back, regroup, and say, all right, we now know what's out there, and let's make our deal.
And I'll say the Cardinals have done a pretty good job. The Blues, I think, and Doug Armstrong are the best at this, but they've done a pretty good job over the last couple of years operating without much leaking.
Yes.
And I don't know if that speaks to the agents that they're working with, the agents they're not working with, and who's connected to those agents. But just the way they've gone about it, it seems like even if there's an idea of what they're trying to do, you don't really hear about it till it actually happens. So I don't know if we'll, get any blockbuster big-time news over the next, 24, 48 hours that moves the needle. But, I imagine they know where they have to be better, and they haven't been shy about that. So, at some point, I would assume that we'll see that come into focus and then into fruition.
Mike Claiborne and Chris Raby live from the baseball winter meetings in San Diego. Thanks, guys, for joining us.
All right. Have a good rest of the day.
Thank you. All right. Coming up next, Vanna White has been on Wheel of Fortune for 872 years, and she's about to do something she's never done before. It's our cut of the day.
Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
Are you an old soul, Bo Matthews?
I've been called that.
Yeah. I'm a very old soul, but it started young. I would go to visit my grandparents when I was a kid, like 5 years old. And every Friday night, my grandparents and I, along with my sister, who was the ripe old age of 7 at the time, would drink ginger ale, play canasta, and watch Wheel of Fortune. This was
all at the same time.
Yes. And we had a blast. So I grew up watching Wheel of Fortune. I love that show.
It's been going on for decades, almost 40 years.
Did you watch it? Do you watch it?
If I see it in passing, if I'm getting a tire changed or an oil change and I see it on, I don't set my day by it.
Right.
I don't watch it on demand.
No, I don't either.
It's just like part of it's like a comfortable blanket. When you see it, it's like, oh, yeah.
It's
Can I figure that one out?
It's the Mr. Rogers of game shows.
Wow.
I think. It's a pleasant, calming show. Okay. So Vanna White, right, has been on this show forever. And last night, she did something for the first time ever. She hosted Wheel of Fortune for Pat Sajak, who had to have a medical procedure.
Oh, man.
He's okay. But Vanna White got to host, and I read the story, how she had never in her 872 years considered hosting before. It never crossed her mind, which I find hard to believe.
But she was definitely the one to do it.
But she was the one to do it. And that's our audio cut of the day, sponsored by the Good Feet Store, pain relief and comfort to fit any budget.
And now, here's our host, Vanna White.
Welcome to Wheel. As I'm sure most of you know by now, Pat is recovering from surgery and hopes to be back real soon. I'm happy to step in and help out.
Vanna White, stepping in for Pat Sajak. Here's a fun fact. She always wears heels and evening gowns.
Yeah.
When she was up on the stage hosting, all the contestants stand on platforms. And
right.
Those platforms are different levels, so she took her shoes off. So I believe she did the show barefoot.
It's just classy. It's a couple you've known forever, although they're not romantically involved. It's just they're together. And it's so sad to see what he's going through and for her to step up. I mean, I think she knows how the game is ran.
Yeah, well, of course she knows how it. And I know it's changed over the years. The rules have changed. They've added some elements that are fancier than others. But hopefully Pat Sajak's okay. Have you read much about what he had done?
No, other than it was an emergency surgery to correct a blocked intestine.
Yeah, which sounds incredibly painful.
Oh.
And I think from my understanding, he's been dealing with this issue for a while.
He's an American treasure. They both are.
I know.
And Vanna, for her to step up.
Pat Sajak is a really interesting follow on Twitter. He is bizarre. He's so out there that people were questioning if it was really him, if that was really his Pat Sajak account. It was not a fake account. It really was Pat Sajak. You know what else isn't fake? This show, Bo Matthews. You and I will be back tomorrow because Mark Reardon is going to be out again.
Yeah, and he can enjoy his day off. I'm looking forward to tomorrow.
Yeah, so make sure you tune in 2 o'clock on KMOX. Bo Matthews, Amy Markscores filling in for Mark Reardon.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.